I feel a little bit more comfortable being on this side of the stage, behind a big object, but the pastors thought it would be a good thing for me to be behind this part of the stage. Tonight, I have the wonderful privilege of preaching, I guess, the final sermon before, or service, Friday Fire service before our church retreat. So I'm feeling a little bit of the burden. As soon as Pastor Aaron put up that post in the leadership post, I was like, OMG. Not OMG, yeah. I've been really wrestling. Like, what, Lord, what do you want me to share with the church? What should I be delivering tonight? And the natural response that I felt was outpouring, or perhaps a part two of the fire sermon that I had last time. I had that on my spirit, but God was kind of tweaking some things in my own, I guess, my own life, and some things that I've been praying through. So what I'm going to be preaching tonight, it's not going to seem very related, but at the same time, I want to ask you to stay engaged with me to see what God's going to do through the words I'm about to speak. I think Pastor Erin touched a little bit about it through her leadership message, and Pastor Caleb as well, as he led prayer last Sunday swim. But in this year of rest, I want to tackle something that has been killing, stealing, and destroying our rest. And I feel like God wants to do with a huge layer that has been bothering the church. And I believe that even now, the enemy has been taking liberties to use it as a form of subtle and direct attack against the house right now at this hour. So it's been such a burden to try to carry this message, because obviously I'm trying to target a principality. But it's definitely trying to hinder for us to be fully immobilized into identity, authority, destiny. So what am I talking about tonight? I want to talk about, I'm going to target the spirit, I'm going to declare it. I want to target the spirit of anxiety and the spirit of distraction. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the victorious work of Jesus Christ on the cross, crucified, dead, and raised, declaring the sting of death obsolete for those who believe. We thank you that this has been restored to us. Our identity has been restored, our authority has been restored, and so we give you tonight full authority, and we take up our authority in Jesus Christ to bind up the works of the spirit of anxiety and the spirit of distraction. We also take responsibility for any ways that we allow the spirit of anxiety to take root through unbelief and self-inflicted foolishness. And we ask, as we confess and as we cry out, release the breaker anointing right now, and release the breakthrough that we need in Jesus' name. We ask, as the word of God is going forth, as people are hearing the word and honoring the word, let there be an outpouring of your spirit as the word is released. And I pray that whatever things may have been held up due to anxiety or distraction, God, would you allow a momentum to be released tonight? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. As you know, I have two children, and writing a sermon with two children and being in the same household is not a very easy thing. But thank the Lord I was able to finish this sermon. So as you know, I have a daughter who's 4 or 5 years old, Korean age. I have a son who has turned 1. And we can say that babies indeed deal with anxiety. Do you guys agree with me? If you're a parent, or if anyone here has ever tried to hold Zion or Karis, you will, or they will tell you that all babies deal with a type of anxiety. Do you guys know what type of anxieties that babies deal with? Separation anxiety, that's right. So everyone deals with anxiety, even from birth. What is separation anxiety? Separation anxiety happens when a baby at about 6 or 8 months becomes a lot more aware of their own selfhood. That is, they begin to understand that they are a separate entity from their parents. And also they become aware of their surroundings in relations to where their parents are. Right? So consequently, if they sense that the parents is not visually there, what happens? Anxiety, right? Anxious behavior will ensue. So you'll see expression of fear, distress, followed by, oh my gosh, I'm about to die type of cry. So let me paint you a scenario. Okay, happy baby. I'm a baby mama right now, and the baby's very happy. And the baby mama is is stressed out because she's been at home all day and she wants to go for a walk. She wants to take baby A out for a walk. So she picks up the baby and places the baby in the stroller, not knowing about separation anxiety. This is her first child, has zero understanding about babies. And so she places the baby with a stroller facing outwards, right? And most of those who've been parents for the first time, we have no idea. We did the exact same thing. So as soon as the baby is placed down, the baby cannot visually see the mama. What does the mama begin to do? Try to verbally assure, right? It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But despite the mother's attempts to verbally give her trust, the baby still freaks out because visually, oh my gosh, where is mommy? Where is mommy? And again, anxiety kicks in. Fear, worry, and aka separation anxiety scenario case 101. Hell breaks loose. So most of the parents, and funny enough, everyone probably in this room have gone through it ourselves as babies. Now, I do want to say that separation anxiety is actually a natural part of the developmental process of becoming a human being, becoming an adult, right? So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a part of us maturing. And majority of us in this room have gone through it, as I mentioned before. But we've also learned to overcome it through the guiding process of our loving parents. And especially through the love and patience and presence that babies have overcome their 3 to 6 months or more separation anxiety. So anxiety is dealt with by the loving presence of some caregiver. And I feel like, you know, this is kind of an extension and a reflection of our spiritual state as well. And God gives us parents, gives us families and loved ones so that we can deal with separation anxiety as an extension of His presence. Same as for spiritually, when we feel separated from God, it is God's presence and His voice, the Word of God, that allows us to experience His safety and therefore overcome spiritual separation anxiety. So that's an example of one type of anxiety, beginning with babies. For me, I grew up in a quite wealthy family. Money was never a problem for our family. My dad started off as a cabbie, as one of the first Korean Australians living in Australia. So he really, really, really worked hard, and he was very proud of the fact that as a first generation Korean living in Australia, he was able to get married, raise 2 children, send us to very expensive schools, and live the dream for an immigrant family. And so money was never a problem. However, it wasn't until things started to get rocky with his business that anxiety started to kick in for him as well. He started to experience depression. He started to have these emotional ups and downs, which led to him having bipolar depression disease. Anyways, there was this one time where, as he was running this business, a person that he was training and raising up as part of his business decided to take over what he was doing. And it wasn't necessarily straight out shady, but it was like a broken of trust. So he separated himself from my dad and he created his own business, and he began to compete with my dad and took over the business that my dad should have taken. And that's hundreds of thousands of dollars or thousands of dollars that should have went to him. And so as a result, my dad has this trauma of being ripped off by someone he trusts. And for me, I've never had a problem with money. I thought I didn't have a problem with money. I thought I was, you know, I was okay because all my life, if I needed something, I could just ask for it, right? It wasn't until Korea when I had to live by myself and I didn't have the trustworthy help of my family that I began to realize that I had some sort of anxiety related to money. And funny enough, one of the anxieties that I had to deal with was the anxiety of getting ripped off by people. And it was really bizarre because I began to feel feel myself imagine all the scenarios, all the possibilities of if I lend this person money, or if I join this hagwon, or if I work for this person is going to end up ripping me off somehow, some way. I created inside my head a scenario. And for the longest time, I was like, why am I feeling this anxiety? Why am I freaking myself out? It is so, like, unproductive. And I felt so heavy about it. And it wasn't only until a handful of years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, leading up to Busan and figuring things out with my job situation, I began to put things together and realize that our family had a trauma of being ripped off and carrying that anxiety. And so in a weird way, indirectly, I carried my dad's anxiety into my own life. So what does that tell me? This is not scriptural, but from my personal experience, anxiety can arise from trauma. Anxiety can arise from association. It can even be generational. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of the anxieties that you face would be out of the experience of your family, or something that your parents have gone through, and so forth. And that's why, you know, as a church, we do healing and deliverance. We look through the history of our family, and we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into those areas. Anxiety. So anxiety can begin at a very young age. It can happen as a result of a trauma. Anxiety can happen just out of our own situation. I'll explain more. So from infancy, childhood, adolescence, puberty, adulthood, even this week, even today, even this very moment, some of us are carrying anxiety. Okay, right now, it may not be manifesting, but we have different layers of anxiety. For me, I've been working on this layer of anxiety for a very long time, and I've been contending for it. Not just for me to feel set free from it, but also to be an agent, a prophetic agent in this area for this country. And so I feel like the Lord has asked me to do that. What does the Bible say? What is the Father saying with His voice to His maturing children about anxiety? I want us to turn to Philippians just quickly. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, I'm going to get a little bit fast because of time. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness," okay, it's a type of witness, "be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Okay, it's the end times. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near us. So, do not be what? Anxious. Do not be anxious about what? All right. The Bible makes it clear, anxiety shall not be present, should not be present. Nothing. Anything. So you can fill in this gap right now. Okay, whatever you're experiencing says, do not be anxious about blank space. Okay, that could be your money issue. You're thinking about a relationship, a relational difficulty. It may be even a small thing about, what am I going to eat tomorrow? What am I going to wear? What about that pimple that's coming at the top of my forehead? Okay, whatever. It says anything. God says anything. He's given you the liberty to put it in there. Do not be anxious in anything. So from heaven's perspective, according to this passage, it is absolutely unreasonable and, I would say, foolish. Not that God doesn't care. Of course He cares. He asks us to cast our burdens, doesn't He? Nevertheless, unreasonable and foolish to be anxious in light of who God is in our lives and how God is bigger than anything. Everyone say, God is bigger. I want you to look at that anything and say, God is bigger. I think sometimes we need to do that. I think sometimes we need to face a situation, okay, it might be big or small, and just say, God is bigger. Just face it in the eye. And a lot of the times, the funny things, these anythings, isn't it funny? They're actually nothings. Whether you're looking at in the spiritual or just in the natural, a lot of the times these anythings are nothings. What do I mean by that? Nothing Nothing in that. There are self-inflicted imaginations of 1 to 2, 3 to 4, or if you're an expert anxieter like I was, you can come up with 5 perfectly crafted on replay failure scenarios. It's like, oh, 1 and 2, this is what's going to happen. And you begin to meditate to death. Okay? It's self-inflicted sometimes. God says anything. And I'm saying sometimes it's nothing. I'll give you an example. It doesn't seem like a nothing. But as a parent, one of the anxieties that I have is when I hear a bang sound. It's a boom. There's a silence and there's a boom. Yeah, you hear a cry. When I first started to hear this sound coming from Karis, when she was about 3 to 6 months, anxiety level was at about 99%. As an unexperienced or inexperienced parent, scenario after scenario began to rain. And I'm not kidding. Scenarios of her flipping off the bed and cracking her head, bleeding, her lip being torn, maybe breaking a bone. I would physically imagine it happening to her. And I would have this immense anxiety. And so it took a while for me to completely surrender her safety to the Lord. And if you're a parent as well, you're going to have anxieties with your children. But the Bible says, do not be anxious about. Do not be anxious about. But in prayer, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with. Let your requests be known to God. God is inviting us not to be anxious. Okay, I want to throw to you one thing. How many of you guys know that there is a strong connection between anxiety and the lack of thanksgiving? Let me say that again. There is a strong connection between anxiety and the lack of thanksgiving. You see, a lot of the times we are anxious or have anxiety is because we are looking at our past, we're looking at our present, we're looking to the future, and we're seeing that there is a disparity of need. There is a lack there. Something that we don't have. But thanksgiving teaches us to be content. Thanksgiving says God's provision has come in the past, in the present, in the future. Okay, think of a relationship. Think of your finances. Thanksgiving brings your anxiety from the past, present, to the future. It brings you to the place of peace. Contentment is your natural cover from the storms of anxiety. Thanksgiving is like dropping an atomic bomb on your anxiety. So let me say it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with, let your requests be known to God. So I did a quick research on the word anxious. I like to do word studies, English and the Greek. In the English, let's go to the next slide. Merriam-Webster says that the meaning of anxiety or anxious means afraid or nervous about what may happen. Okay, not what will happen, what may happen. So it's kind of stupid, isn't it? It's foolishness. You don't even know if it's going to happen or not. Anxiety is rooted on imagination. Google Dictionary. Experiencing worry, unease, or nervousness typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Okay, how many of you guys here are certain about your future? Nobody. Who is certain about our future? Okay, let me just... Tardis. Let me say to you, when I'm preaching this word, I'm preaching to myself. This message was like for me. Another definition is wanting something very much, typically with a feeling of unease. So you can say, I anxiously want that boyfriend. Or I anxiously want that pecan pie. I don't know. Think of something that you have really wanted and has led you to such anxiety. So some of you may have not eaten dinner tonight. Like, think of a situation where you've been so hungry, you fasted for a week, and you have, you know, some of you may have overcome hunger and gone to the state of Jesus Christ. But most of us, after a certain point, hunger kicks in and we start to twitch. And there's a part of us where we really need to eat, and this anxiety kicks in. Anyways, anxiety is self-centered. It's about my need being met. And it is manifested through unease. NIV Study Bible says it is self-centered, counterproductive worry. You want to waste time? Be anxious. It's not legitimate. Okay. NIV specifically says that it is not legitimate. It's not a legitimate care or concern for the spread of the gospel as well, specifically. Anxiety pulls you away from the gospel message. Devil wants that. He wants you to be in the place of anxiety. He'll flip you out of your identity. He'll turn you away from your authority and your destiny to preach the gospel. Anxiety is stealing what God has created you to do and be. Okay, let's look at the Greek. Philippians 4:6. Anxious. So do not be anxious. That same word, anxious, in the Greek is merit. I said it all week. Meri manao. Meri manao. Okay, repeat after me. Meri manao. Meri manao. Anyways, this word sounds like marinate. Meri manao, marinate. Okay, work with me. So anxiety is like a marination. You're marinating yourself on problems and worries, and you're replaying it in your mind. So just imagine yourself in an oven with worries sprinkled on top of you. Okay, that's what you're doing when you're anxious. You're in the same spot, going around in circles. Okay, Meru Manao is to be anxious about, to have a distracting care, to be troubled with cares. It comes from the root word care, merama, which is to draw in different directions. Okay, distraction. Anxiety is a distraction. Anxiety throws you off from where you need to go and who you need to be. Everyone say anxiety is a distraction. Okay, I want you to call that out. Anxiety is a distraction.
Anxiety is a distraction.
And a form of distraction is anxious care. We need to make that clear. There is a difference between having care for something or a concern and having an anxious care. As I mentioned, anxious care is inward focused. But I do want to say that not all cares and concerns are bad. Okay? We should be concerned about our children. If Karis falls over, it's going to be dangerous. The Bible uses the same merimanao in two chapters before in Philippians 2. Let's go to that text there. I did most of the work, hopefully, for you guys. In this text, Paul says, now as they went on their way. No. Is there a text before that? I'm sorry. Let's go to Philippians 2. If you have your Bibles, Philippians 2:19. And as soon as you got it, say, got it. I'll wait for two more people to say, got it. All right. Okay. So Paul is writing this letter to the Philippian church, and he's talking about his son, Timothy. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. So he's very delighted about the Philippian church. As you may know, the Philippian church helped him in his missionary work financially. And then he talks about Timothy. For I have no one like him who will be merimanao for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. He is a very proud spiritual father, sending Timothy. And here we see Timothy having Merimna'or. Okay, we can all agree that this Merimna'or is a good thing, right? What is the English translation of this Merimna'or? Genuine concern. It says, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare? The type of Merimna'or the Lord is inviting us as a church is a type that is concerned for other people. A selfless type of care and concern. Anxiety that comes and brings forth selfishness is fruitless. God wants us to bear fruit, amen? And that's going to happen through this type of Merimna'or that we see in Philippians 2. Okay? This type of Merimna'or is selfless. It seeks the interest of others and it pursues the things of the kingdom. I believe that if you're going to have any type of Merimna'or, this is what God wants us to have today. All right, moving along. I want us to jump to Luke 10. This word actually jumped out again in this second or third passage I found, and it comes from the story of Mary and Martha. I'm sure everyone knows this passage, right? So you're more than welcome to turn to Luke 10, verse 38. Let me try to land quickly this plane. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Okay, so notice it's Martha who introduces or welcomes him, invites him. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Mary was what? I'm sorry, Martha was distracted. Okay, distracted with? Ouch. Distraction is not always necessarily a straight out bad thing. Distractions can come in different forms. And I think on Sunday, Pastor Caleb was talking about how we can be distracted with our kids. And so as soon as he said that, I was thinking to myself, am I distracted with my kids? It's something that I had to pray through with God. But distraction can come in the form of a good thing. Okay, I want to let that sink in with you. Verse 41. But the Lord answered, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up and said, Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her then to help me. Verse 41. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are Merimna'or, and troubled about many things. Verse 42. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So that's the verse I want to look at today as we close up. Anxiety arises because, as I get from this text, is when we choose to serve without seeking. I've done this time and time again. I've chosen to serve Jesus and I have not sought his face. Another way you want to put it is you can be distracted is when you're working without worship. Look at Martha. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care? Look what I'm doing for you. Anxious, anxious, anxious. Right? What did she begin to do? Anxiety started kicking. She began to compare herself with how much she's doing and how much the other person isn't doing. Like, look what I'm doing. Look how much money I'm making for the kingdom of God. And I can say that a lot of this could be Merimna'or, self-seeking type of anxiety that Jesus does not want. For Martha, what she was doing for Jesus was more important than who she was with. And I think for most of us, when we're chasing the dreams that God has placed in our hearts, what we do for God has become more important than who we do it for. And I would like to say that that is an anxious distraction. It's pulling you into that direction, and that direction. And you're not hitting that bullseye that Jesus is inviting you to. Those who are distracted with the wrong things are usually focused on the what than the who. And God does care about the what, but the who, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, should define the what. So what am I saying? Anxiety and distraction comes back to the matter of Matthew 6:33. What is Matthew 6:33? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Anxiety and distraction is given authority when God isn't first. Okay, we said everything, right? Okay, it could be work. It could be a dream. It could be eating. It could be the way that you sleep, exercise, everything. If God isn't first, I would like to say it gives authority for the spirit of anxiety and distraction to come. It is when worship isn't our everything. Let's go back to the original verse. I want us to look at it. Keep looking at it. Philippians. Okay. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Everyone say everything. 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 You see, God knows everything. But he wants us to make known everything. As you can see, let your requests be known to God. He wants us to make our everything known to him so that we would make him the object of our worship, object of our faith, and the Lord of our everything. He wants to have deep communion. And this is not a very practical sermon. I don't have three tips for you to go ahead, but I just want us to catch the spirit of what God might be speaking through these texts. But I have one thing I do want to share as a practical tip, and something that God's been continually pushing me to walk in, and that is to practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God everywhere in everything that you do. This has been a fight in this season for me, to be honest. When I'm tired, I don't want to practice the presence of God. After having a long day, I'm putting the kids to sleep at 9 p.m. I have more work to do. I don't want to talk to God. And I think sometimes that's okay. But I think even turning your heart to the awareness of God, God is so appreciative of that. And there's a couple people who live with me in this room, temporarily. I'll probably get kicked out very soon. Just kidding. But, yeah, they'll tell you, when I'm at home, I'm not a very holy person. I'm not a very holy person at church. Yeah, I have some habits, which I won't publicly confess. Which the Lord has invited me in this season, and I've attempted to practice the presence of God even in those places. Okay, not all the time, but even in those places, I've attempted. God, I invite you in some of these things that I do at home. They're not sin, okay? All right. Nevertheless, I feel like this is the season in this year of rest. And as Pastor Aaron, shared a message for those who weren't there at the leadership retreat. The furnace. She spoke about how there was this frustration that was arising within us. So I do feel in two sense. One sense, I feel like the Lord has allowed these frustrations to come up, because it allows things to arise. So for me, it may have to do with anxiety about certain things. It may have to do with my, you know, desire for God in a certain way that needs to be rechecked. But I also felt like what I wanted to do tonight, and you can pray with me, is I felt like there was a subtle attack on our campus specifically as well. I felt like there was an attack against these two areas of anxiety and also a spirit of distraction. And I felt like the Lord was inviting us tonight to really bind these two things up. Because to be honest, I've been struggling and I've been distracted and I've been frustrated, the things that Pastor Aaron was preaching and talking about. And I feel like I can't, I myself, through my own strength, my own prayers, I can't break through this. And I know we're going to lead up to the retreat. I'm going to get there. We're going to break through. But I wanted to invite us tonight to contend for this. Okay, so I'm going to ask Anastasia to come up. Okay. I do want to say that this is a God thing. Because I feel like there's layers of things in our past. As I mentioned, I had anxieties about getting ripped off and anxieties about, you know, finances and things like that. Like, there's layers of it. There's layers that I've been dealing over years. There's layers of anxieties that you've been dealing with as well. And I think as well, distractions. There's access points. The enemy has come against you to draw your attention away from God. And anxiety has been one of them. Okay, so I want to lead a couple prayer topics because of time. So I want to invite you right now just to begin to pray in the Spirit. Okay, we don't have to go to the place of striving. I feel like there's a gentle yet powerful presence in this place. Okay, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Okay, if you have to speak in tongues, whatever it is to open your heart, draw close to God. Okay, just a couple seconds as we connect with God and begin to access the power of Jesus' name, the blood, the victorious name, and the anointing that breaks the yoke of slavery. All right. Keep praying. The anointing, I feel like, is arising in this place. Okay, I want to set us up right now. The anointing is arising in this place. The presence of God is here. One of the ways that the spirit of distraction will come, it'll steal away your focus from the awareness of God. Begin to be aware right now. Awaken. Be aware of the presence of God in this place. Be aware to the voice of the living God. Be aware of what He's saying and doing and who He is. Begin to focus on those things right now in Jesus' name. I just sense a connection that's coming, that's here in this place. Okay, as you begin to connect with God, I want you to lift up thanksgiving right now. Okay, I want you to move into that place of thanksgiving. Begin to access the language of thanksgiving. Begin to lift up prayers of thanksgiving of the past and the present and the future. Begin to declare His faithfulness of His provision. Begin to say right now, God, You have been faithful in that area. Lord, I thank You that You are here and You're looking after this need and You're looking after that need, or You're looking after this want and this desire. And God, You are faithful to come and meet every need according to Your great riches. Father, we praise You. We thank You for Your goodness and faithfulness to the church. All right, let's all stand for this final prayer. And I want to invite you to stay engaged. If you feel like there has been a spirit of anxiety on your life, or you've dealt with anxiety and there's specific layers of it, or you've just been feeling anxious about something, or there is a distraction of some sort, I want to invite you to raise your hands. All right, it looks like there's a majority of us in this room who are dealing with it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to contend right now for our own anxieties. We're going to contend for each other, and we're going to begin to break off the spirit of anxiety. It's coming off. 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 Layers of anxiety right now coming off in Jesus' name. Right now we access the anointing that breaks the yoke of slavery. Layers of falsified information. Lord, memories. Lord, we redeem it for the name of Jesus. Redeem memories that has been causing anxiety. We break off the spirit of anxiety in this place right now. I bind the spirit of anxiety. I want to encourage you, if there's a specific anxiety that you've been dealing with, speak to your CG1 or CG2. I feel like maybe that there is some process of discipleship that will come through that. But, sorry, one more prayer topic. I want us to pray against the spirit of distraction. I want us to pray for every type of distraction that has been coming. And I want to contend right now for this room here. I want us to contend for New Philadelphia as a whole, for the house. And I want to come against the spirit of distraction in Jesus' name, okay? So let's take about 20, 30 seconds. I want us to begin a war right now. Okay, stand in the gap right now. Take your place in the spirit. Break off all types of distraction. Okay, but be strategic. If there's a specific distraction the Lord has placed on your heart, okay, I want you to call it out and begin to break it off. If you sense a discern a distraction that has been coming against leadership, break that off right now. If you are distracted because you are worried about work or something like that, break that off right now. Offer yourself and offer the campus and offer this church right now. I break off right now every type of distraction. Father, release the spirit of revival in this place. Release a fresh hunger right now for Jesus. Release a passion for the name of Jesus like never before. That when distractions come, Lord, they are nothing but a small noise in the midst of the loud praise that we give unto you. I pray for a passion to arise, awaken hearts. I pray for the fire of revival to arise in this campus. Release a fresh grace to be able to encounter you again. Father, I pray that as we open up the word, as we pray, Father, I pray that hunger would arise again. That distractions would not have any influence any longer in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the coming weeks, prepare our hearts for the outpouring. And keep us in deep communion. God, I ask for a deep communion in the coming days. Deep communion. I pray and ask for the practice of the presence of God for these saints everywhere. In whatever we do, God, I pray that we would practice your presence. Help us to be aware of your presence in all that we do. And I pray that as a result, anxieties, lifelong anxieties, yearly anxieties, layers of anxieties, generational anxieties will begin to fall in Jesus' name. So we take authority right now and make it a captive and obedient to Christ. We thank you for everything and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.